Okay. Oh, I jumped the gun. This is what I had. 1 minute. 1 second. Shmami no. Okay. We are on the Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Hei Amud Aleph. We are about 12 lines from the top or so. We had a discussion, people, if you need to have permission from the exilarch when you make judgments or not. And we said you don't have to make, you don't have to have permission to make judgments. However, there is a problem that you may have, that if you make the wrong decision, you may have to pay the difference to the person in court who lost out from your wrong decision. Right? But it's still a decision. In other words, we don't say, even if you don't have permission from the exilarch, we don't say that the whole judgment is nothing. We said it's a judgment because you had the other qualities that you needed, knowledge of Torah and things like that. But so the judgment is a judgment, but you're liable for any errors financially that happens. It's not a question as, well, what can you do to make sure you're not going to be liable for financial matters? It's just a continuation of that. So Amar Rav, Rav says the following. Hi man, the boy lemaid andina. Someone wants to adjudicate a case as the judge, and veita. And even if he makes a mistake, mi boy lemiftra, and doesn't want to have to pay for the mistake. Very simple way, lishkol rishusa mi be reish kalusa. So get permission from the house of the reish kalusa to be able to adjudicate. Then you're working his case. Now that's now look at this. What's the logic for this? This is what the note tells us here. The immunity derives from the principle of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. That when the Bezdin declares something ownerless, then it's ownerless. That's a rule. A Bezdin has that power. It states that the recognized authorities have the power to declare a person's property ownerless. Now, who has the authorized power? That's the Reish Galusa. So if he has, if his power it comes from the Reish Galusa, then that authorization of the judge gives the judge the immunity from liability, for the monetary claim of the erroneous first claim is in effect abrogated by the Reish Galusa, has the legal authority to do so. In other words, the Reish Galusa, that's the head of the courts. They can say what they want. They can, take your property away from you. That's what a Bezdin's power is. So part of that is a judgment. Whatever their judgment. Now, if they authorize a judge on their behalf, so it's like the business doing that. So that's what he's saying. An authorized judge immunity from liability does not apply to all errors, as will be learned many, many months from now on Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. But certain ones, yes. And therefore, if you want to be exempt, it has to be with the permission of the Reish Galusa, or, as we've said before, if they accept your judgment, regardless of what you do. That was a statement of who? That was a statement of Rav, and to show this is an undisputed opinion. V'chein Amar Shmuel, so says Shmuel, Lishkol Rishusa, Mibei Reish Kalusa. You have to get permission from the Reish Kalusa. Now, Gemara is now going to ask a Shaila. Now, there were the Jews lived in two parts of the world at the time of the Gemara. They lived in Golus, in Bavel, where they had been exiled to, and then after the return, there are Jews who lived in Eretz Yisrael. So there were two, what we call, central authorities. Remember, in the second Beis HaMikdash, or even after the second Beis HaMikdash period, whatever, we didn't have a king anymore. Now, kings had to be from Shevet Yehuda. We'll see shortly, in the blessings that Yaakov gave to Yehuda, he shows in a prophecy in the blessings that there will still be leadership coming from Yehuda, although it will not be called a king, but there'll be called other titles of leadership. Now, in the Galus, in Bavel, it was called the Reish Galusa, it was called the Exilarch. And now, who was the one who was the leader spiritually in Israel? That was called the Nasi. The Nasi. They both descended from the tribe of Yehuda. However, the exilarch's descent was stronger, as we'll see, because it came from a paternal descent, while the exilarch of the Nasi, rather, came from a maternal descent. So therefore, the assumption is, and that's where the Gemara is going to go now, is that the empowerment of the court system, or the leadership, was stronger in Bavel, because the exilarch had a stronger lineage than that in Israel. Now, what does this have to do with anything? The answer is, well, let's say you get permission from, you can, now, so therefore, let's say you want to be a judge, and you don't want to have to pay for mistakes, right? So now, if you lived in Israel, you wouldn't go, you're not going to schlep all the way to Bavel to get permission to adjudicate. You're going to go to the Nasi. Yeah. And if you're in Bavel, you're going to go to the exilarch. What the Gemara is going to tell us shortly is, well, it makes sense. If you got permission from the exilarch and you're in Bavel, then you can adjudicate in Bavel. And if you got permission from the Nasi in Israel, you can adjudicate in Israel. But what about if you have permission to adjudicate and now you move from Israel to Bavel or from Bavel to Israel? Will that permission that you have from the Nasi help in Israel? Will the permission in Israel help when you're in the land of Bavel? The Gemara is going to say, well, since the exilarch was a stronger descent, so what the exilarch's giving you power in Bavel certainly would give you power in Israel too. But the question is, what about the reverse? If you have power from the Nasi in Israel and you go to Bavel, will that keep your immunity? And that's going to be the Gemara's discussion. So I've explained it all outside. Now we can see it inside. Yeah?
Can I just ask a question on the previous thing when we had to ask for permission in the first place? Why do we assume that if you find a mistake, you made a mistake in judgment, and you have to reverse whatever, you have to get the money to the other guy? Why don't you just get the other guy who really deserves all the money to give it to him instead of
if he dies? Or if he leaves town?
Fair enough.
Right? There's not always times where you could do that. Okay, so now everything I explained outside, we're going to quickly read inside now. Pshita, the Gemara says, it is all clear and there's no question. Mehacha, lahacha, from here to here. Now here is Bavel, because the Talmud Bavli, we're learning the Talmud Bavli, we're learning the Babylonian Talmud. From here to here, in other words, you got authorized here in Bavel. Anyone adjudicate here? It's not a question. And from there to there, in Israel, Mahani, it's effective. And therefore, you've got authority and you're entitled to adjudicate cases. And if you make any mistakes, it's not a problem. And also we know, from here, Bavel, Lahasam, go there in Israel, Nami, Mahani, it also helps. That's also good. The question that we have is, and why? Why is it so? He couldn't give you the reason now. He's going to just say a line, and shortly he's going to explain it. Tahacha, here, it's an aspect of Shevet, and this is part of the blessing that Yaakov gave. A Shevet, we'll explain it in a minute. Shevet means a scepter. Scepter is a very powerful thing. Vahasam, but in Israel, it's just Mechokek, a legislator. So a scepter, that shows more sovereignty. A king has a scepter. Being called a legislator doesn't express sovereignty. You have an important job, but you're not a sovereign. Sovereign means you're in charge. Okay, as we'll see in a minute. So the Reish Galusa, we'll see in a minute, is called a scepter. That's sovereignty. A Nasi's only called a legislator. It's a lesser degree of authority. Thus, the greater authority of the Reish Galusa in judicial matters extends to the community of Eretz Yisrael as well. The respective titles of scepter and legislator are simply indicative of varying degrees of authority. But the reason that the Reish Galusa's authority extends to Eretz Yisrael is that the Reish Galusa was descended from the male line of the Divinic House, as I told you, whereas the Nasi was descended from the female line, as stated in the Talmud Yerushalm. Okay, so that also helps. Kidatanya. Now here's the pasuk. We learn in Brisa, this is the blessing that Yaakov gave Yehuda. What was the main blessing? Leadership never leaves Yehuda. The only kings are going to come from Yehuda. Right? It says, "Velo yosir yosur shevet mi Yehuda." The scepter shall not depart from the tribe of Yehuda. Now, who was that referring to? What was the futuristic prophecy? Elu Roshe Golios. That's the head of the Golos. Sheba Bavel. In Bavel. What were they doing? Sherodin es Yisrael b'shevet. They ruled with a scepter. In other words, they called all the shots, right? That this refers to the Reish Galus, who was granted the power to rule the Jews in Babel by its Persian rulers. So that if the Persian ruler says you can rule, then you're ruling, right? Now, we don't understand, and it's strong enough. And the rest of the pasuk says, "Umechokek and legislatures, mibein raglav shall not stop from between your feet." What does it mean between your feet? That's a very euphemistic. It's a clean way of saying it's from to descend from your reproductive organs. Elu b'nei banav. This is the grandchildren shall Hillel of Hillel, shemalam din Torah, who teach Torah publicly. The famous Tana Hillel was the Nosner Shishol, and his office passed to the descendants for many generations. Hillel was a direct descendant to King David from the maternal side. All right? So therefore, so that's why from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, the authority is good, because you were given a stronger source of authority. The Reish Galusa was the scepter, and he was given mamish political authority from the Persians. so he can judge in Israel too. Our question is the last scenario. Me'ahasam lahacha, from there, from Israel, if the Nasi gave you authority, lahacha to hear in Babel, my, what is the law? Do you have, does it entitle you, number one, to adjudicate at all? Are you allowed to adjudicate? That was the whole issue we said, now, it's interesting, or do you have to pay back? We already kind of said, if you have the other two qualities, it's okay. Remember, you had to have three qualities? So you have to be, what if you're just being a scholar? But I guess you're going with the authority of adjudicating and everything that goes with that. Toshma, come and hear the following story. De Rabba Bar Chana, Don Dina Vito. He tried a case in Babel and made a mistake. All right? So we'll have to see where the source is. Okay. Osa Lekame de Rab Chiya. He came before Rab Chiya in Eretz Yisrael to say if he was liable for any damages because he made the mistake. Now that's the question. Depends on do you have authority or not. Right? Now Rab Chiya lived in Eretz Yisrael. So he adjudicated the case in Babel. And then he realized he made a mistake. I guess he went to his Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. So it says, Amar Leh, he said like this, if they, the litigants, accepted you as their judge, then Lotan, you don't have to pay, as we said before. And if not, Zil Shleim. Now you got to go and pay. Now, how is this a proof? The proof is like this. Rabba Bar Chana, Gemara now says, wait a minute. Rabba Bar Chana, Rishusa Havanakit. He attained authority from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, as we'll see shortly. We didn't see it yet, but the Gemara knows it's coming up. He did get authority in Eretz Yisrael. But yet, the rabbi is telling him, Rab Chiya is telling him, that you're liable for the decision made in Bavel if they didn't accept your decisions. Shema mina, that's a proof. Mehasam lahacha, from Eretz Yisrael, if you're given permission in Eretz Yisrael, and you judge in Bavel, lo mahani, it does not help. Shema mina, we see that is so. Now, the Gemara, so that seems to be the proof. He was given permission in Eretz Yisrael to adjudicate. He did the case in Bavel and went back and made a mistake. And he went to this Rebbe, he says, sorry, if they didn't accept you, you got to pay. So you don't have that strength. More now asks the question. Now, who was the story? It was Rabba Bar Chana. More asks, Valoma, honey, does it not help? Let's look at another story. Doesn't the permission of the Nasi help in Bavel? Another story, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, ki have minzi behadet devei Reish Galusa. Rabba Bar Rav Huna argued in Bavel with those from the house of the Reish Galusa. Okay, he had an argument with them. Amar, and he said to them, Lav minaychu nakita rishusa, I did not get authority from you, that I have to be subordinate to you. Who did I get authority from? Nakita Rishusa, I got authority me'abamori, from my father, my master. And this is, remember, it's Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Okay, I got from my master. Va'aba, and my father, Mori, my master, got it, Meirav, who got it from Rav. V'Rav, Meirav Chia, and Rav got it from Rav Chia. V'Rav Chia, Meirabi. And Rav Chia got it from Rabbi, Rav Yehuda Nasi. And that's a Nasi. So someone who got authority from the Nasi is not, this wasn't a case, but he said, I don't have to listen to you guys, even though you're from the family of the Reish Galusa. Right? Although only Rebbe was the Nasi, but those who obtained authorization from him could in turn authorize others. That was the point. And those others still with others. So therefore, you see that if you got authorization from the Nasi, if the Reish Galusa wanted to start up with you, you didn't have to worry about him. So what do you tell me that if you adjudicate the case, you have to pay the difference? Morris said it was an obvious difference. The case of Reish Galusa was not a judgment case. It was a political issue, whatever. So it says, "B'milsa da alma hu da oikim laha." In other words, Rabbi Huna stopped them with mere words. Ah, it's just mere words. But the truth is, he was suborned to them. In other words, he was wrong. He called their bluff. Or he bluffed them, rather. He bluffed them. He said, you're going to start with up with me? I have permission from the Nasi. So maybe they weren't so intelligent to say, what are you talking about? That doesn't help. In other words, he said a fact, but really they could have taken him to task and said, no, you're wrong. Actually, Rabbi Rav Huna had obtained authorization to adjudicate. Oh, look at this. Look at the notes here. He had authorization from the Reish Galusa in addition to the Nasi. What he meant by his retort was that his primary authorization came from the Nasi, not from Reish Galusa.
So he had authorization from both places then.
Yeah, but the primary one came from Israel. Okay, anyway, but you see, but he really didn't, but it really was just pushing him off with words. Okay. But it really wasn't so. So now, this vechi me'achar delo mahani. So now that the authorization of Nasi is not effective, okay. So now the question is: so wait a minute. So you're telling me it's not effective. So if it's not effective, so Rabba Bar Chana reshus of nakad lamale. So why did Rabba Bar Chana get authorization from the Nasi if it doesn't help to go in Eretz Yisrael? That was the person we dealt with before. That was the original story. Rabba Bar Chana brought the story of Rabba Bar Chana. He made a mistake. So if you don't have the authority, so what does it help? Right? As stated in the Gemara shortly, it was upon Rabbi Archana's impending travel to Babylon that he sought authorization. We're going to see a minute. He was leaving Israel to go to Bavli. He went to say, give me authority. So what's it going to help if it's not the right authority? If that authorization would not be valid in Bavli, what was the purpose of obtaining it? The answer is, La Yoros Ha'omdim Al Gvulim. For cities that, for those Babylonian cities that were near the border of Israel, and which are considered an extension of the community in Eretz Yisrael rather than as a part of Babylonian Jewry. It was on the border and on the Babylonian side of the border, but since it's on the border of Israel, it's treated like Israel, and therefore the authority you're given in Israel helps in Israel. Therefore, you want to have the authority to adjudicate cases in the border cities as he would travel. And as he was planning to go into the heart of Bavel. But if a rabbi is traveling by, a big rabbi, and he travels through the city, you know, a lot of cities didn't have any rabbis in their cities. So if a big rabbi came by and said, oh, you're a big rabbi, adjudicate our case. Well, wait a minute. But good thing I have authority from the Nasi, from the border cities, it will help. But once you're beyond the border cities, it does not help.
So back in Babylonia, was like where Jordan is?
Yeah. Yes, but there's nothing in between. So no other. This is before
the cities. But
what?
There's a lot of area in between. Was that Babylonian?
It was a big empire. But it wasn't another country.
No, it depends on the border of cities.
What?
I'm just saying, was that considered part of Babylonia?
I guess. Now, the Gemara now asks. Let's understand, how did Rabba Bar Chana get his authorization? My Rishusa. How did he get it? Answer is, Ki Havi Noches, Rabba Bar Chana Bavel, when Rabba Bar Chana was going to go down to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Le Rab Chia Le Rebbe, Rab Chia said to Rebbe, he said, Ben Ochi, the son of my brother, meaning my nephew, you're the Bavel, he's going down to Bavel. So, he says, He asks, Yora, may he render decisions? Yora means to render decisions in area of permitted matters, such as shechita, ritual law, if an animal shechted kosher. So Gemara's explained, you know, why did he need authority? But anyway, Yora, he asked, will he be, in other words, does he have permission to render ritual laws? Right? So he says, Yora, he may. That was the authority. So he asked for his nephew authority. That's why when there's different levels of smicha nowadays, we borrow on these words. So if you get smicha, if you study the laws of shechita and treifas and things like that, which is in Yora, it's the section of Shulchan Aruch called Yora Dea. So the smicha you get is called Yora, which means you may adjudicate these types.
Those cases.
That's right. So that's the smicha that I got umpteen years ago. In our yeshiva, that's the smicha they gave. Okay? But that's only one area of law that you have smicha per se. Now he asked them a second question. Yodin, can he adjudicate monetary cases? Right? Now that's already a whole different, and that's the one that's nogea with mistakes and paying back and things like that. So he says, Yodin, he may adjudicate monetary errors. So nowadays, if a person wants to get a smicha to adjudicate monetary errors, he learns choshen mishpat, and when he gets smicha that, it's called Yodin. So now you understand where the term's coming from, right out of the Gemara here. Yora, or Yodin. So that's, and Yodin is a much more difficult smicha, because it's much more...
Why did it double up the word?
Because you see from the wording of the Gemara. May I judge? Yes, you may. It's from these expressions. At borrowing from the Gemara. It's a much more difficult, because it's a much more larger corpus of knowledge in Choshen Mishpat that has to be learned. Okay, then he asked the third question. Yatir Bechoras, is he permitted to examine firstborn animals to see if they have a blemish, and then the owner is allowed to eat from the animal? Remember, there was no Beis HaMikdash then. What happens? You had a firstborn animal, has to go to the Kohen, but we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore. So what could you do? You have to let it walk around until it gets a blemish. Okay? So now you have to have an expertise to know exactly what the type of blemish is to make that happen. So that's the whole thing over there. All right, so the Gemara is in Yoma states that one must first obtain authorization from the Nasi in order to be qualified to examine a Bechor and declare its blemish permanent and its meat permissible for ordinary consumption. Ruchia sought such authorization for his nephew, Rabbi Barchana. Can he have that? So he says, Yater. Yes, he is permitted as well. So he gave him all those things. And that was for who? It was for Rabbi Barchana. Okay? So now, so he got that permission via his uncle. Kihava Nochis Rav Lobo. That's story one. So now we want to know how you got that. That's how you got it. Story number two. Kihava Nochis Rav Lobo. When Rav was going down to Bob Meretz Yisrael, Amar Le Rav Chia LeRebbe. Again, Rav Chia intervened for him. He went to Rebbe. And also, that the last one was, what was the relationship? Was Ben Achi, the son of my brother, right? This one is now Ben Achosi, the son of my sister, Yored Lababa. He's going to Bava. So now you see that this Reb Chia had at least one brother and one sister. At least you know from that. He says, so my nephew's going to Bava. Yora, may he decide cases of prohibited matters? Yora, yes he may. Yodin, may he decide cases of financial monetary issues? Yodin, yes he may. Yatir, may he adjudicate on the Bechoros, on the blemishes to be permanent blemishes? Al Yatir, he's not permitted. We're going to soon, the Gemara will ask, why did he make a difference between one and another? We'll discuss that in a minute. That's what Gemara asks. Maishna Lamar de Kokari, first of all, Maishna Lamar de Kokari Ben Achi. Why is it Rav Chia refers to one master, Rabbi Chana, as my brother's son? One second, let me get it all in here. Umay Shna, and what's the difference? Lamar Dekari Ben Achosi, one of your first brother, my sister's son. So you might say, well, maybe that's what it was, eh? Gemara says, V'chitem, if you're going to say, Hachi, well, that's the way it was.
The same son.
Rav, see the relations here? Rav, maybe Rav was the son of Rav Chiya's sister, whereas Rav Bar Chana was the son of Rav Chiya's brother. Maybe that's what it was.
No, it wasn't.
No, it's not so. We're going to learn a little bit of history, Talmudic history. The Ha'amar Mar, the master said, we're going to say it's not that so. Because it says that Ivo, that's the name of a person, Ivo was the father of Rav, who's the brother of Rav Chiya, right? Vishela, Vachana and Chana, the father of Rabba Bar Chana, so see, it's two brothers, not a sister here. Shela, Marsa, and Chia, that's five of them, were Kulo, B'nai, Abba, Bar, Acha, Karsala, Mikafri. They're all children of a person named Abba, Bar, Acha, Karsala from Kafri. But it's clear that Rav and Rav were both sons of Rav Chiya's brothers. So they weren't, there was no sisters here. So they were sons. They were nephews via brothers. Right. Not so it's not. So that's why he's saying it was just brothers. So why did he call one my sisters and the other one called my brother? The answer is Rav, he called him Barachua. The one that says he's the son of my brother. Really, to have a Barachsa, because he was as well as the son of his sister. Huh? What? Rav Chiya referred to him as the son of his sister. It's a long story. It's a long story here. Abba Bar Acha Karsala, that's the father, grandfather, was a widower with a son, Ivo, and he married a widow with a daughter. It was a daughter, step siblings, okay? So Ivo and that daughter were thus not related at all. And therefore, when Ivo, so Rav Chiya was born of this second marriage of Abba Bar Acha, eventually Rav Chiya's half-brother Ivo married his half-sister of Rav Chiya, and Rav was their child. Thus, Rav was the son of Rav Chiya's half-brother as well as the son of his half-sister. So that's where it was like that. That's why he also said, the son of my sister, because it was Taka brother, but also a sister. Rabba Bar Chana, Barachu de la Barachu. He was only the brother, son of his brother, but there was no marriage of a half-sister, so it's truly brother. So that's a technical answer to the question. Biboyisem, if you want, I can give you another answer, but we're going to stop it over here for now. Okay, got to get ready for Mincha. Okay, so we got right to the bottom of the page, but the other answer is going to take a little too long, and I got to get to the Shiva house.